challenging as you have chewed on the Word of God, as you've learned how to meditate, if you looked at Scripture, because that's the start, all right? So just a reminder, 40 days of living the Word. And that's our prayer, that you will take this and not just be a one-off in your lives, but an ongoing process of learning how to look at Scripture, how to meditate on Scripture, how to trust Scripture, which is the theme of today. Sorry. This is what you call technology. And as you all know, I'm not good at technology. Sort of. I'm glad the children agree. How do we trust the Word? Nigel actually, I think, may have hit on it just now. The Word is a lamp unto our feet. All right, the Word is a lamp unto our feet. And one of the things about a lamp, I know nowadays lamps tend to be in all shapes and sizes, but in those days, the lamp only illuminates a certain area around us. And so what you see is literally those steps in front of you. The lamp is not a headlight. You know, nowadays cars, and you know, they got LED lights and goodness knows what other kind of lights, and they're super bright. But a lamp is not a headlight. A lamp is a lamp. It only highlights and lightens and illumines a certain area around your feet. And that's why we are told to trust. Because you only see so far, not beyond. You have to trust. So today we're going to look at trusting the Word boldly. And part of that is the reminder in Joshua. So we'll read this again. I know if you haven't memorized it yet, you'll read it again. And as I said last week, I apologize, we're starting in verse 7, not verse 8. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses commands you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Go straight ahead so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, which is what we considered last week, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. It is conditional, the command of the Lord. It is conditional. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Now we look at this and we hear this and we go, isn't that nice? Right? Most of us go, isn't that nice when God says to you, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't tremble. It's cold, I know, and so some of us shiver in this place. Don't tremble. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Question, do you believe this? Do you believe this? The context of what God said to Joshua is rooted in the death of a man. His name was Moses. He was a leader like no other leader. He was a unique man. Think about it. If you have a leader who has taken you from slavery, delivered you out from the hand of Pharaoh, you have seen miracles happening under his watch. You have gone through the Red Sea on dry land. You have crossed across the desert. You have seen water provided. You've seen bread provided. And then this man dies. And you go, Most of us would be sad. Most of us would mourn. Most of us would be despondent. And that's exactly what, and the nation of Israel mourned the loss of Moses. In the midst of this mourning and the death of this man came a challenge to move forwards. In the midst of mourning. So how could Moses' death be the time for a move forwards? Why in the time of distress? Let me put it to you that it can be a time if God says so. If God says so. You see, the challenge for all of us is we hear, but do we really hear? How is your hearing today? The challenge for us is to trust in His faithfulness and try not to sort and not to try to sort it out in our own way. Man is very good at planning. I praise God for our planners. I praise God for people like Chin, who plans and operates and executes things in the background for us, and I just kick the stand. I am so glad for that. But God sometimes acts in ways that does not make sense to our carnal minds. How many of you have ever experienced that? That when God says something to you, you go, are you sure, God? You want me to do that? He speaks through a promise and then issues a command that seems illogical to our minds. So for that, let us look at the scripture passage. Joshua 6, chapters, verses 1 to 27. Joshua 6, as always, the reminder to all of you is that have your Bibles, be it wherever your Bible is, be it hard copy or not, to open it and to follow. Because if nothing else, you can check whether I've gone rogue. In Joshua 6, we read this. Now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. In other words, Jericho was fortified. They had heard that the sons of Israel were coming. They had heard that this nation of foreigners had crossed the Jordan River in flood, and the Jordan River had miraculously parted, and they had crossed on dry land, and not one of them had been lost. They heard they were coming. And so they did what every nation state would do. They fortified themselves and they locked themselves within, and no one went out and no one came in, and they said, we're going to be safe. Archaeological evidence of the ancient city of Jericho indicates that the walls were pretty thick. They were fortified. And then God takes Josh and He says, look, Josh, that's the city of Jericho over there. See, that's Jericho. And I have given Jericho into your hands with its king and its valiant warriors. In other words, I'm giving to you everybody in Jericho. I have given Jericho into your hands. God didn't say, I may give Jericho into your hands. Let me think about it. He said, I have given Jericho into your hands. Promise. God's promise. And this one is really wordy. All right? However, the thing is this, but God then issues a command. Promise and then a command. He says, Josh, I want you to take all the men of war with you, and I want you to walk around the city and encircle the entire city. And I want you to do it once. And Joshua went, that's good. Thank you, Lord. And then we get the city? No. I want you to walk around it for 6 days. You want me to walk around the city with my men of war for 6 days? Yes? Anything else? Yes. I want you to take the priests, 7 of them, and they're to carry trumpets. How many was there on the worship team today? 5. We needed 2 more. Can you imagine the worship team with 7 ram's horns? No guitars, no drums, just ram's horns. I want to take 7 priests, and you're going to place them before the ark, and then you're going to walk around with the men of war. Okay? Let me ask you one other question. I'll do a slight diversion here. Remember one of the promises that God said to us last year? What was one of the promises that God said to us last year? Pastor Kenny is not allowed to answer this one. Nobody's putting up their hands. It's stay close to the Pastor Kenny. No. It's stay close to the ark. What was at the center of the ark? Do you all know? What was at the center of the ark? There was no idol. There was no statue. It was the presence of God in the center of the ark. But there was 2 things that were there. There were 2 tablets. And I'm not talking about Disprin or Panadol. There were 2 tablets, the 10 commandments. What was God trying to tell the nation of Israel when they said, follow the ark? The word of God was at the center of the ark. The word of God was at the center of the ark. God says to the nation of Israel, and God says to us today, I can be found in my word. There is where I am. All right? That's why they had to follow the ark. That's why we have been told and reminded to stay close to the ark. So they had to walk around for 6 days. Fine. Then on the 7th day, God says, I want you to walk around the city 7 times. And then on the 7th, when you completed it, I want you to shout. I want you the trumpets to blow. And then I want you to shout. And then the walls are going to fall down. And then the people will go out, every man straight ahead. In other words, the implication was that there will be no obstacle. The walls will be flat. Promise. But they had to do something. I've not read, maybe, but I've not read the manual on how to do warfare by Joshua at Jericho, or the Jericho manual in that sense. Because this is a bit illogical, and it demands an obedience. Again, verses 8 to 20 of this chapter says, and so it was so, and it was so, that when Joshua had spoken to the people, basically they did that. They went out, they walked around the city, they came back to the camp, They went to sleep, they had a good rest. Next morning, they got up and did it all again for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they did it seven times. And then they blew the trumpets and they shouted, and nothing happened. Yeah. So why did Joshua and the people do what they had to do? Why did they do it? It would have been easier just to storm the city. They had the manpower. Because they heard the spoken word of the Lord. They believed. Thank you. Let's put this off so that I don't. This is going to keep me in one place. Hear, will, believe, and act. For faith hears the promise. Faith hears the command. Promise, command. Faith believes both promise and command because faith believes God. And then, faith acts and steps forward in obedience of the command and the promise. And by faith, we are told in Hebrews, by faith we are told in Hebrews, the walls of Jericho fell down. Thank you.
Wow.
Testing?
Yes. By faith fell down.
Now I know how Freddie Mercury felt. Sorry, I shouldn't be talking about that. All right. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. So what is faith? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Or literally, it is translated as faith is the persuasion of the works not seen. Have you ever seen works that cannot be seen? Nadine, faith, works that are not seen. Think about that one. The assurance of things hoped for, the things not seen. For faith is not seeing the tangible, I put it to you. You see, if you see now what you have been previously waiting for, it's not faith. It's there. This is here. This Dell lab screen is here. I don't need to have faith for a screen because it is here. You see, the waiting and trusting is what is called faith. The waiting and the trusting is what is called faith. In Habakkuk 2, we are told, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal
and it will not fail. Though it tarries, in other words, though there is a pause, there is a delay, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. How many of you like waiting? Now, how many of you don't like putting up your hands? Nobody. Okay. Anyway, you know, waiting, I'm a bit of an impatient guy. I find waiting very difficult. But Habakkuk was told, wait, it is coming and it will not delay. But your time is not necessarily God's time. Faith is to be certain of what we do not see. So not only is it the things that of the persuasion of things that are yet to come, but it's also to be certain of what we do not see. How many of you are told seeing is believing? How many of you remember a guy called Thomas? I hope there are no Thomases here today. But how many of you remember a guy called Thomas? Ah, that's very nice. Telling me that Jesus is alive, he's resurrected, but until I see him, I'm going to have a doubt here. Seeing is believing. But I put it to you that seeing is not believing. Believing is not seeing either. For seeing is the opposite of faith. It is not a true indicator of genuine faith. Because if you see, it is no longer called faith. If you see and you can touch that, it's no longer called faith. For faith is the inner persuasion in that person who lives by the integrity and faithfulness of God. How many of you trust that God is faithful? How many of you know that God is really faithful in the midst of the trial? When the dry winds blow, when the cold winds blow, when it seems that nobody seems to understand you, when it seems that everything seems to be falling apart, how many of us truly believe that God is still faithful? Our faith walk, my friends, must begin and end with the focus firmly fixed on the Word of God. It must begin and end with our focus firmly fixed on the Word of God. For God has spoken and we need to hear His Word. Not just the positive verses in Scripture. Because in this book, there are very difficult verses. There are verses that will challenge us. There are verses that, as we said last week, when you read them as part of your devotion, you are going to go, I do not understand. And that's fine. That's fine. But as you ask the Holy Spirit to teach you, you will understand. And that's fine if you don't understand it today. That's why last week we talked about meditation, because that's when you need to masticate, to chew on the Word. You need to get hold of the Word and you need to chew really well. I know it's hard if you've got dentures, but you need to learn how to chew properly. And I hate to say it, we got to learn sometimes from the cows. The cows know how to chew, and they chew very well. Watch a cow chew. If you've got nothing better to do, go and look at a cow and watch how it chews. All right? It's a learning experience. As we said, the function of the 40 days devotion is to challenge all of us to learn how to look at Scripture. This week, you'll be looking at the lives of different people. You'll be looking at the lives of David, of Paul. You'll be looking at the lives of Abraham, among others. And we are praying that that's part of that you will see how God works through the lives of different men and people. All right, to encourage you to trust, to devote yourself, to trust the word, and to live your lives boldly. And one of them, we are told, was the man of Paul. His name was Paul. And Dr. Luke tells us in Acts 27, there was a time, records for us, there was a time when Paul was on a boat with Luke and they were caught in a storm. And it was bad, it was really bad. And in the midst of this, Luke records Paul as addressing the crew. Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I've been told. I read this and I go, wow, I don't know if I could have said that or I can say that like Paul said it. Keep up your courage, man. That's the leadership part, all right? Those of us who have gone through leadership training in your various organizations, in your various groups will know, we are told to be positive. Keep up your courage, man. Stand there, face the troubles. Lead, show courage. But Paul says, keep up your courage, for I believed God that it will turn out exactly as I've been told. You see, when God deals with you, I think we all go through a point in our lives where we are extremely challenged. Paul was blessed, I believe, because when he came to the Lord said something, I must show him how much he must suffer for my sake. You know, we never tell young believers that or non-Christians that. When we invite them to come to the Lord, when we invite them to come and to ask Jesus into their lives, we never tell them, you're going to suffer for the Lord's sake. We tell them, it's going to be good, man, because the Lord is going to take away all your troubles and everything is going to be fine. And then they hit a wall and they suddenly go, hang on a minute, Pastor Kenny, you never told me about this. You know, Nigel, where's Nigel gone? Nigel's disappeared. Okay. Anyway, I shouldn't have used Nigel. Jimmy. You know, Jimmy, what's going on? Why is things going wrong suddenly? And, you know, you go to your cell leader and that's good. But God told Paul he was going to suffer. But Paul learned. You know, Paul learned from his encounter with God to entrust himself to God totally. That's why he was able to go through deserts. He was able to go through hardships, I believe. He was able to go to shipwrecks. He was able to be betrayed. Many of us don't cope very well with those sort of things. Hardships, sufferings, beatings. But God told him. And here Paul says, I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. And I love this next part of the sentence, because he then tells the men who are all going, oh, that's good. Thank you, Paul. Praise God. It's going to be great. Because Paul believed that he was going to get to Rome. Didn't he, Jin? Not Jin. He's not saying anything to me. Okay. But Paul then said something to the men that brought it reality back into their lives. But first, we must run aground on a certain island. In other words, he said, trust me, men, I believe God. It's going to be all right. We're not going to die. But first, we're going to get shipwrecked. Reality. Reality. So when you trust the word boldly, there's also reality. That is why we are told in the book of Hebrews, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance. You have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Don't throw away your confidence, for you have need of endurance. Endurance, perseverance, is something that echoes throughout Scripture. And when God tells us to endure and to persist, and to, there is a reason. There is a reason. Romans 4, verses 20 and 21. Will anybody of you know who this is talking about? These verses. Thank you. Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. How many of you remember that one? Thank you. Yes, I'm glad I'm not the only one who knows some of these old choruses. Because I think the next line goes, I'm one of them and so are you. Father Abraham had many sons, was this old chorus that we used to sing in Sunday school. And then God promised him a multitude. And then he got old. And then he realized that he was past it, humanly speaking, in producing children. And he looked at his wife, Sarah, and she was past it too. And she kind of said to him, I'm not going to have any more kids, man. No kids. But with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief. But we are told he grew strong in faith and gave glory to God, being fully assured in his heart that what God had promised, God was able to perform. When we trust the word of God, it will come to pass if we have heard and we have obeyed. Yes, Abraham disobeyed. The result of which we are seeing to this day in the Middle East. Because when he disobeyed, he had Ishmael. And out of Ishmael came the nations that surround Israel today. And that's why there's conflict. He did not waver in unbelief. Being bold, we need to learn how to be fully assured and not waver in our faith. For faith is believing God. And believing God, we need to believe God even when there are times that God seems to be really far away and His promises seem to be taking an awfully long time to be fulfilled. Joshua, back to Joshua. In Joshua 12, 18, there's this line. Joshua waged war a long time with all these kings. Now, I know I wish, I don't know about you, I wish that battles are short and sharp. They can be over and done with in an hour or in a minute. You know, and you point the finger and you go, die. Dead. Problem's over. Done. Unfortunately, most cases, it doesn't happen that way. You know, somebody once said, you want to know the faith of a man or a woman of God? Ask them to point at a tree and say, die. And if the tree doesn't die, you know whether the man's faith or woman's faith is, how strong that person's faith is. It doesn't work that way, by the way, folks. Well, I hope Pastor Kenny never points his finger at me. So war can take a long time, all right? War can take a long time. But you know, in Joshua 12, 2, we are told in verse 23, Joshua did take the whole land according to all that the Lord had spoken. And then the land had rest. Today, this morning at prayer, and by the way, folks, this is just a brief advert break here. There is morning prayer from 9:15 to 9:45 in the cafe area every Sunday. So you're coming to church. The challenge is, would you like to come for prayer? All right, 9:15 to 9:45, half an hour. Where did I go on this one on prayer? Joshua took the whole land. And the Lord, yes, this morning at prayer, the land had rest. But God tells us now that although God gave Joshua rest, go and look it up in Hebrews 4. We are now told to be diligent to enter that rest. There is a rest, and we have to be diligent to enter that rest. Joshua took a long time to fight the war. And he said, when he addressed the nation, he said, I'm getting old, man. I'm getting old. And I'm about to go the way of all dust. So this is not quite a farewell from me yet. But Joshua reminded the people, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations around you. For the Lord your God is He who has been fighting for you. Part of entrusting ourselves to the Lord is to trust that when we obey and we move in accordance to what we have heard His voice say to us, and followed what He has commanded us, is that He's the one that will fight for us. We used to sing a song, be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God. Lord your God. Sorry. Thank you, Grace. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is the one who fights for you. Right, be bold. So a final thought. A final thought, musicians. Priests, trumpeters, if you've got your ram's horns. Some of you would have heard of the man called Chuck Swindoll. Some of you listen to him. Some of you read his books. I don't know if there are any of Chuck Swindoll's books out there, actually. I haven't noticed in amongst the piles. But he had a quote, and he spoke this to the students at Dallas Theological Seminary. Life is 10% what happens to you and 90% of how you will react. Life is 10% of what happens to you. In other words, that's the part that you cannot control. You have no control about what happens to you. You have no control over what your neighbor is going to do to you in a minute or a second, or the one behind you, or the one in front of you. You have no control over that. But life is 90% of life is how you will react to what happens to you. Your reaction. As a Christ follower, as a follower of Christ, we are called to trust Him. We are called to change our mindset to that of our Lord Jesus Christ, who became a servant, who humbled Himself, and became a servant to all. As a Christ follower, we are called to entrust ourselves to the Word completely and to step out boldly in the strength and enabling of our faithful, completely trustworthy God. And it's found in Romans 12 and Philippians 2. And my friends, my brothers, my sisters, as we draw this time to an end, I want to echo the words that Joshua spoke to the people and the nation of Israel. And you may say, hang on, that was the nation of Israel. But we are now a kingdom. We have been called. We are no longer part of the nations around us. We are called into a new kingdom, the kingdom of God. You have all, if you have accepted Christ as your Lord, a new passport, a new king, a new ruler. And as you come in your journey as a Christ follower, I want you to think about these words that were said to the nation. That you will know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one word of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. For all of them have been fulfilled for you. Not one of them has failed. You may not have seen the outcome yet. In the book of Hebrews, it talks of many people who never lost their faith, but who never saw the answer to their prayers. But they remained steadfast in their trust and in their walk. And the injunction to you and to me and to all of us is this: be very firm then to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law. As I said before last week, 5 books at the time of Joshua. For us now, we have the complete revelation, the entire scripture. How much more have we to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law, the book of instruction of the Lord. And the reason for that is so that you and I may not turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. In order that you and I may not associate with these nations that remain among us, or to mention the name of their gods, or to make anyone swear by them, or to swear, or to serve them, or to bow down to them. But we are, you and I, to cling to the Lord your God. To cling, my friends, to the Lord your God, as you have done this day. So take diligent heed to yourself, to love the Lord your God, to love the Lord your God. For if you ever go back and cling to the rest of these nations, these which remain among you, and intermarry with them, so that you associate with them and they with you, know for certainty that the Lord your God will not continue to drive these nations out before you. This was what was said to the nation of Israel. This is what I believe Father is saying to us today. We will all face troubles this year. This will be a difficult year for many of us. Look at the news. Look at the news. You and I will all face personal challenges this year. But the challenge is for us to trust the Word of God. For God says, draw near to me. Draw near to me. And may we, as a people, as individuals, as followers of Christ, strive to faithfully follow our Lord Jesus always. Faithfully follow Jesus always.
Shall we stand?